Let's begin.
Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm sitting here with Attilio in our studio and in the midst of crazy Lubbock weather. It was snowing yesterday here in Lubbock in April.
Yeah, even though it was like 80 degrees out, like not even 2 days ago.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. I've lived here for like 20 years and I've never, ever, ever gotten used to the weather here.
Well, my brother messaged me this morning asking me if like I was okay because of like tornadoes and stuff in Texas.
Yeah.
So snow, tornadoes, 80 degree weather, end of spring, like, I guess that's the fucking concoction.
Well, we're not swearing on this. the weather has just always been crazy here. I mean, it wasn't but a couple months ago that we were checking out the whole wildfire thing that was going on like through like West Texas like and up into Oklahoma.
87 different wildfires happening all over
the place. Oh man, it was bad. But yeah, we've notoriously had crazy weather here in Lubbock. But yeah, what all happened this week, dude?
Dude, kind of like a lot and not a lot at the same time. It was kind of like a lot of grindstone, just kind of like making sales, cashing out, trying to pull together some more stuff for our branding situation and adding new stuff to our website. So, I mean, I guess we can talk about one of the big things was we had the CTO for IBM come in town, which was a pretty big deal. I guess it's like putting us on the map a little bit, even though there weren't too many people at this conference. But it was an iLaunch and Gleam. That's the organizations that put that together. And it's for like startups and the startup community, as well as like some scientific research stuff. Mm. So it's pretty interesting hearing him talk. He brought up Edward Snowden for a little while. So the dude had it on lock for sure.
It was crazy. Like in the middle of his spiel, there was a tech student that started like arguing with him in the middle of his presentation. And he was extremely calm and gracious, but I felt pretty embarrassed for that dude. But I think what was really cool about that whole conference was the fact that we just had several friends who were
competing
and giving.
It's a good networking event too, actually.
Yeah, it really was. So I think it was how many companies pitched? Do we know? Like 10?
10 startups pitched.
Okay.
And then
3 won cash prizes for their business.
Yeah, 3 won cash prizes, and then they also had like the Gleam people. So iLaunch was the startups, and then Gleam was like a bunch of scientists looking for funding and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they gave away I think like $60,000. So it was all prize money, which is pretty sweet. You don't have to pay any of it back. Had I known that, maybe we could have just jumped in real quick.
Just to see what could have happened.
Yeah, like just for some prize money. Granted, then we would have had a prep. It probably wouldn't have been worth the time wasted.
I think the people that won like prize money also had to like put out a certain set of deliverables as well. I believe that's what I heard the lady talking about when they just give it the prize money.
Oh, like they have to do something to get the prize money?
Well, they get the prize money, but they have a, you know, their end of the bargain they have to make up for.
So, what?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
At least that's how I understood it. But
there's no way. It was prize money.
I know, but
that would suck so much. I feel like you spend so much time getting ready for it, and then the conference literally went from 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday until 7:30 p.m. Like, straight up. That's a long-ass time to be, like, up and around.
Yeah.
I don't know. Especially, like, if you own, like, a business and you're, like, presenting for the business or something, like, that's a lot of time to spend for a startup.
We actually haven't been to a lot of conferences, and I think what was really funny was we had these expectations that a lot of maybe business people would be there to network. And we're going to try and pass out a bajillion business cards and try and get people to know a little more about our services here locally, and no one showed up.
I mean, there was like 30 people, But like they weren't good networking opportunities because like it was a bunch of people just trying to see what was going on. It was a public event.
Okay.
So, like I wish we could have given out more of our cards. We also knew some of the people there already. Yeah. So some of the like big, like some of the bigger players that were there, we already knew. So it was kind of just like a concentrated dose of like 50% people we knew and 50% people that like probably wouldn't be using our services. So I mean, even though we did hand out some of our cards to some of the people, it was just I wouldn't say it was a disappointment as far as networking goes, but it was not as much quantity as we could have had for spending some time there. We ended up actually leaving early, in fact, because we needed to get work done.
We had some buddies competing though, which was cool. We went back later in the afternoon and listened to their pitch and got to hear like the feedback. Like they had probably at least 10 judges from all different walks of life, entrepreneurially. They had a guy from
Shark Tank.
They had a guy from Shark Tank on there, which was pretty crazy. They had a few like the higher up professors from the Rawls College of Business at Tech, but they had everything from venture capitalists to real estate moguls to, you know, retail specialists. I mean, they had everything. And unfortunately they didn't pull out a victory on it, but
oh yeah.
Big shout out to Car Capture 360, our dudes. But I was actually extremely impressed by the guys that won. They created something called, I think it was Safety Seat or something like that.
It was like a car seat thing.
Essentially, the idea was that they put a little pad down in a car seat, and it was supposed to link up to your phone via Bluetooth. And so if you left your child in the car, 5 minutes later, it'd start making this crazy, annoying beeping noise on your phone, like letting you know, like, hey, like, you left your tiny human in the car, you know, go get him out.
I wish Bluetooth was a little bit better. I don't like Bluetooth too much because I feel like it burns your battery so much. Like, straight up. Like you can't leave it on all the time because otherwise it just, like, burns through your battery.
Well, I hope you remember not to leave your kids
in the car. Dude, Yeah, hopefully I'm not that person.
Oh, man. But, it was a really cool concept. I mean, I thought it was also really impressive that they had actually been in business for a month. At least so they say. But they had already had like an advisory board about child safety and all kinds of stuff. They had a prototype, like a working prototype there.
I think they just incorporated a month ago, and they have been working on it for some time.
I couldn't fathom how they got that much work done in 30 days. Like, I don't know. I didn't believe that for a second, but their idea is great. Their presentation was fantastic, and I wish them all the best. But yeah.
I mean, yeah, I still wish, you know, maybe our dudes could have placed, but that's okay. Oh,
100%. But Safety Seat's not the only people that are making plays, are they, Attilia?
No, they're not.
We're making some pretty saucy plays that we're excited about.
Yeah, well, this past week we actually have been talking to this, locked in a guy who's on TLC right now, which is pretty sweet. And us being entrepreneurs, you know, we wanted to like just try different things and see what happened where. And so we traded like our setup for one of our services for like a shout out on TLC. So I don't know if anyone's ever done like celebrity endorsements or if they're even like effective. I mean, I'm sure. Just looking at the search volume for the TV show that the guy's on, there was like 12,900 people searching per month for this TV show. So hopefully like one little name drop might be like, might go the mile, but
I'm just excited to get his testimonial on our website. You know what I mean? Just to show that we've been working with someone from TLC.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I mean, you never know. That could be like a...
I mean, I'm sure we're going to do great for him. We've been like working on his... So we have like a site build up for him that we're doing.
And yeah.
Hopefully like the trade's worth it. Maybe getting some like just additional business. Even I guess like having one additional customer, period, would cover the cost of our setup. So yeah. Like I have high hopes for it. I mean, this is kind of like influencer marketing on some level for like social media, where you give like an influencer some cash and they shout you out or shout out your product. So I'm sure it'll be just fine. I'm sure
Yep.
it will be just fine. So we've also had some invoicing problems this week. Just like QuickBooks in general and clients not picking up invoices. I don't know. Does anyone have any remedies for that? Like, what do you think we can do to get better for collecting invoices? Like, it's kind of like client end, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We let them know like in advance, like, hey, we're sending an invoice your way, and then it expires like almost like what was it, like a 5-day expiration?
It's like a 5 day, like they have 5 days until it's due.
Okay.
So that was only one guy, really. We only, it's not like it's a problem, but
It'd be nice to collect on that though.
yeah, right. I hate when I don't get my money.
Oh my gosh.
I
That's
mean,
crazy.
I guess the responsibility in the end falls on us, and for us not to, you know, anticipate payment from anybody, maybe send a reminder and then follow up, and it's just cost that we have to eat, cost in time that we have to eat.
Yeah.
Or just, I don't know. I don't know. I wonder if there's like automated messages that our invoicing system can send to like people who have had expired invoices,
Probably are.
or like automatic billing. Actually, maybe that's what we can do. It's just start collecting credit card numbers and just automatically bill people rather than invoice them and them paying it. That might not be a bad idea.
That might not be like terrible.
Because we kind of invoice, but we should be auto billing. I think, at least for some of our services, especially like the recurring ones.
Yeah. I think the craziest thing that happened this week though was our company went through a pretty massive change in the sense of we had to buy out one of our partners.
Had to. We bought out one of our partners. Yeah, it was it's a pretty huge change. I mean, granted, the guy that we're working with didn't want to, not that he didn't want to. He wasn't going to be able to really work for like the next year.
Essentially.
So we bought him out.
I
I mean,
know. He's been with us since the beginning, so it was definitely weird and a little bittersweet, but it was definitely the best thing for our company and for him as well, I think.
one of the hardest things that we did was actually trying to value ourselves, like put an evaluation on our own company. And I think that's like sometimes you can buy or not buy, pay people to like evaluate your company professionally, right? But we didn't want to do that, so we just kind of like, I don't know, how do we kind of value ourselves? It was kind of a combination of things.
I know we definitely looked at what we made last year, and then also, based on his percentage, try to figure something out. We're also trying to negotiate because he was also wanting a certain amount of money that he was actually looking to acquire from us.
Yeah, then we had to calculate assets, and he wanted the ownership of one of our software as a service, which was kind of our big money maker for a little while. It's kind of like our water wings, I guess.
Oh yeah, it was the water wings of our company when we were starting because it was passively making like
Just some cash, you
four to
know?
five $500 a month. I mean, which is big business when you're a startup and you have no money to start this thing and you at least have something coming in monthly and
Yeah, you always have like a little bit to rely on.
I
So
mean, it wasn't a big deal parting with that just because we're not an app company anymore and
and we haven't updated it in like a year.
And we're making more money doing stuff that we love
and like what we're actually good at now. Yeah. So
it's a lot different.
I actually think it was a great thing to depart from that because it was like a crutch. You know, like having these water wings is like a crutch for us. It's like we're always relying on, you know, having an extra $6,000 a year, say. And it's just like, it's unrealistic. We should be using our own sales prowess and our own recurring income to like pay for our stuff. We shouldn't be crutching it up with some of our softwares. I mean, it would have been nice to keep, but
yeah.
Also, it was like a 2.5-star app.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like it did really good like the first like year, and then of course all the tax stuff changed. It was basically a paycheck calculator that would kind of figure out what you're going to be making on your hourly check after taxes, and it worked well for a while, but
it was a good app, but it was super like vague. It was a broad app. Like it didn't go specific enough for a lot of people. And yeah. So over time, you know, people would, and we didn't have a rating system within the app. So nothing was collecting like 5-star reviews from people who were happy. Mm-hmm. So it was only the people who were mad that would leave us reviews.
Well, that's with everything though.
So, I mean, that's a big thing to consider when you have a software as a service. You need like high ratings because social, like having that social, whatever it's called, like when someone, when you see many people agree and you agree too, yeah. Having that aspect to an app or software is like crucial. So that was one of our huge mistakes on that project. For the 2-star app, but yeah. So, and he wanted what else? He wanted his laptop. He wanted just some other things, like other knickknacks here and there, and then like a solid little chunk of cash. But it was an interesting valuation, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we're a rapidly growing company. We're making more money now than we ever have, mm-hmm. and Him, you know, being absent for a year obviously wasn't going to fly, and it wouldn't have been, I think, appropriate or fair for him to kind of drop shit back in on when we're a bigger company and have all of this equity and shares and all that. So, I mean, I had no problem, you know, giving him more of a buyout than
upfront,
you know, mm-hmm. that he owned or was entitled to, just because getting him out later would have cost us a lot more.
Yeah, like a speeding ticket, I guess.
Yeah, so I don't know, pretty crazy stuff. Business is hard sometimes.
But you know, I don't think I can think of another way that we would have valued ourselves either. So I think we did like perfect on the numbers. Honestly, I know that it's kind of tricky for companies to value themselves,
especially private ones.
Yeah, especially private ones. And I think we did pretty well. I mean, tips and tricks for that? Just kind of go with your gut. I don't know. See what they accept. Hopefully, you don't have like an. Oh man, I was about to swear hard. Hopefully you don't have a bad business partner, and hopefully they're reasonable.
Yeah.
So if you need to buy someone out,
some of them can actually negotiate with you, and we'll try and settle with you and all that.
Try to negotiate. I mean,
our dude luckily was extremely reasonable, and
yeah, he was pretty reasonable, and we were able to like work things out together. So,
not a big deal. It ended fine. It wasn't like an ugly breakup, you know. It was like I'll see him at Starbucks one day, and I'll give him like a head nod, like, "What's up, dude?"
I mean, I messaged him today. I sent him like a Star Wars thing or something. So
hey,
gotta keep the relationship strong, you know.
Absolutely, man. Well, we've got a couple of interesting articles we can talk about.
Yes, I know that you have been aching to talk about the Netflix release of Orange is the New Black after...
I love that show.
After... I've only watched two seasons.
It's so good.
After they were given a ransom note from none other than...
The Dark Overlord.
The Dark Overlord. Hold on, hold on.
The Dark Overlord. So, the Dark Overlord is a, either a hacker or a hacking group that is... threaten Netflix and other networks that put out like TV shows. They will like put out their shows prematurely on the internet if they don't, you know, meet their demands or whatever. And so I guess they threatened to release the new season of Orange is the New Black online, and Netflix brushed them off and they totally released the entire season of Orange is the New Black, and I'm having to refrain from watching them. I'll probably watch them, but
dude, I haven't kept up with it. I know it's good, but
it's a good show. But anyways, so here's the article from the New York Times. A hacker who claims to have stolen unreleased television shows from several major networks shared the coming season of the Netflix series Orange is the New Black on Saturday after the person said the streaming service failed to meet its ransom requests. The breach appears to have occurred at the post-production company Larson Studios, a popular digital mixing service in Los Angeles for television networks and movie studios. The hacker or hackers, who go by the name The Dark Overlord, also claimed to have stolen unreleased content from ABC, Fox, National Geographic, and IFC. The Federal Bureau of Investigation learned of the episode at Larson Studios in January, but did not start notifying the content companies until a month ago. A message to Larson Studios was not immediately returned. On Twitter, the Dark Overlord suggested that other networks would have their shows released next. Quote unquote, "Oh, what fun we're all going to have," the hacker said. "We're not playing games anymore." Netflix had announced this year that season 5 of Orange is the New Black would be released June 9th, and it was not immediately clear whether it planned to move up the release date. In a statement, Netflix said, "We are aware of the situation. A production vendor used by several major TV studios had its security compromised, and the appropriate law enforcement authorities are involved. The thefts are the latest in a long line of ransom and extortion attacks perpetrated by cyber criminals over the last year. Security experts have been responding with greater frequency to breaches in which these criminals threaten to expose or delete proprietary information unless companies pay a ransom." And it's longer, but you basically get the gist.
I think that's genius, hilarious, and totally wrong. But, I mean, these dudes are getting away with it. And the sad thing is, it's probably super easy for these hacking groups to, like, get into these companies' things. Like, I mean, cybersecurity is difficult, especially since all you need to do is like prod just a little bit.
It feels almost impossible.
Like impossible for the hacking group, or
like no, for Netflix to keep their stuff out of hackers' hands when they're using third-party production companies that...
Dude, I'm telling you, all you have to do, like, all you have to do is capture the handshake for the files. Like, straight up. I mean, there's tons of different, like, basic ways to get things done, and it all boils down to the fact that the internet is, like, built terribly.
Yeah, for sure. What I'm really interested is, they said that Larson Studios... has worked with lots of other networks to create content. And so I'm wondering if, you know, the Dark Overlord got all of this content from other networks all through Larson Studios.
Probably.
Right? Like,
maybe there's just like a huge security breach. Or like insider access or something.
But they breached one studio, but that affected multiple networks. Like, no more information really has been released about it. But that's kind of what I'm thinking happened, is they got access into one studio and bam.
I just exploited the hell out of it.
Well, what if they weren't even like really like hacking it per se? Like, what if there was like a pissed off employee that had access to something, or there's no telling.
Yeah, that is true. That's what I'm saying, like insider access. I'm sure that the FBI is doing like a huge investigation on that production company. I mean, hopefully the Dark Overlord doesn't hit us, but
I mean, the Dark Overlord actually has. They reached out to us and threatened that they will release the next 5 podcast episodes if we don't give him a massive shout out. So, big shout out to the Dark Overlord for releasing season 5 of Orange is the New Black. You are a
gentleman and a skull.
You are a villain, but a hero to many.
Yeah, I think your sister's been watching it all day.
Oh, man. So bad.
I mean, dude, cyber groups. Like, that brings us around to some BBC articles that were talking about if social media websites should be fined for allowing and facilitating, like, terrorist groups and stuff. But, like, how do you even stop that? Like, there's literally like 1.3 billion people a day who visit Facebook. Like, that's a seventh of the world. How do you tackle a problem like that?
I don't know. This is what the BBC had to say about it. Social media firms are shamefully far from tackling illegal and dangerous content, says a parliamentary report. Hate speech, terror recruitment videos, and sexual images of children all took too long to be removed, said the Home Affairs Select Committee report. It called for a review of UK laws and stronger enforcement around illegal material, and the government should consider making the sites pay to help police what people post, it said. The cross-party committee took evidence from Facebook, Twitter, and Google, the parent company of YouTube, for its report. It said that they made efforts to tackle abuse and extremism on their platforms, but nowhere near enough is being done. The committee said that it had repeated examples of social media companies failing to remove illegal content when asked to do so, including terrorist recruitment material, promotion of sexual abuse of children, and incitement to racial hatred. It said that the largest firms were big enough and rich enough and clever enough to sort the problem out, and that it was, quote-unquote, shameful that they had failed to use the same ingenuity to protect the public safety as they had to protect their own income. Ouch.
Yeah.
BBC with the backhand.
Here's the thing, though. Social media companies are making so much money. Like, is that a dig into their income? Well, I don't know. I feel like policing is almost a job of the people on the website. Like, it's our responsibility to flag or to, like, bring attention to those groups. If we feel that they're against the community's policy, like the community being Facebook's policy or Twitter or whoever else, it should be the people who should say something, you know?
Well, I think that's what they're kind of talking about, is like there are a lot of these videos or all of this content is being reported by the community, and the social media platform isn't responding as quickly or as strongly as they could. I think that's where a lot of it's coming from. So it's not just the cops raising awareness, it's also like the community's raising problems, and they're like the company itself is just not really tackling the issue head on like they could be for a company making as much money as they are. So I see what they're talking about. I don't know, like what do you fine a company like Facebook or social media that's just it's gonna be more than a slap on the wrist, you know, like especially when you're dealing with terrorism and child porn.
Here's the thing: do you go to Facebook to get like that? I feel like that's also a temporary relief for the problem. So like, yeah, you can go to Facebook and have the account deleted, or you can have the FBI notified or the CIA or someone notified, and they do an extensive research on the profiles, and then they go and extinguish the problem. Like, is it really the social media's, like, problem? I don't know. That's like blaming a fisherman for world hunger.
I don't know.
Like, it's just one outlet to get something, to get information, one outlet to see the people, and then...
I kind of agree with the BBC on it a little bit, or the guy that wrote this article. I mean, yeah, it's... You can't really hold Facebook and Twitter like responsible for the recruitment of like new people to ISIS, but they didn't really like do a whole lot about it. Anyways, I don't know. It's really murky waters. I'm gonna be very interested to see where it all, you know, falls.
I think where my argument breaks down, however, is sharing of illegal images. Like, so, like, I can understand, like, there has to be a level of freedom of speech, right? So, technically, if I wanted to go on to, we're using Facebook a lot, if I wanted to go on to Facebook and spout, like, terrorist things, I could. Probably not the safest thing to do. Like, I'm sure that would aggravate people, and I'm sure that that would give cause, like, for saying, like, terrorist things, like, potentially harmful things.
To build an agency does not endorse terrorist things.
But like, you have to understand, like, freedom of speech goes both ways, right? So you have like, you can say extremely patriotic or extremely non-patriotic things. And that goes in every direction. But when you're sharing images that are, like, against policies, that's, to me, that's no longer freedom of speech. That's, like,
child exploitation.
Yeah, that's exploitation. That's just a whole slew of different things that I think Facebook really does need to crack down, or whatever other social media needs to crack down on. And I think there should be fines for, like, having that, and maybe, like, if the same account does it once, twice, or three times or something, that social media does get fined for facilitating that information.
I think you should be able to say whatever you want to on social media, as long as it is not, like, actually damaging somebody. So, again, like the children whose, you know, nude images are being perpetuated on social media, or, you know, ISIS beheading videos or whatever. Like, I think that social media platforms should have, you know, departments that their entire day-to-day is finding this garbage and snuffing it out and getting it off the platform. As well as, like you said, working with the authorities like the CIA, the FBI, and just trying to, like, do whatever is necessary to crack down on it.
Dude, to me, that also brings up some of the crazy, like, lately I've been hearing a bunch of Facebook Live suicide videos.
Yeah, like, those have been...
Dude, this is a dark episode.
I know. This is a really dark episode. This is the darkest episode we're probably ever going to have.
Dark Lord.
Dark Overlord.
So, but yeah, like, some of those social media suicide videos where people are just, like, getting on Periscope and killing themselves, like, that's a lot of crazy stuff, man.
Social media is going to some really dark corners.
I think it's just giving people such a huge outlet.
Like a platform, almost.
That, yeah, it gives them a platform so that they can be heard, and then it also gives them, like, this deluded sense of privacy and the fact that you can put yourself out there so heavily, and, yeah, like, it doesn't matter as much. So, like, if I wanted to go out and say some mean things to someone, it's like, it doesn't really matter too much because it was just an avatar that said that. It wasn't really me who said that. So, like, that's the rise of the internet trolls, and that's the rise of internet bullying, and that's the rise of this, then the other, just because it's an avatar. It's not really you, you know?
The internet kind of sucks.
Yeah. I think the culture of it is just, like, it's an interesting growth. I don't know.
So you got people bullying vulnerable kids on the internet. You've got people bullying children. You've got people bullying other races. You got people bullying other religions and people who just, you know, agree with other things than you do. You've got people that are bullying television networks to release their crap if you don't pay up. I mean, it's just, it's
bullying.
It's bad, dude. It's what happens when you allow someone to be, like, anonymous and like, held unaccountable for the words that they speak. Like, I'm all for freedom of speech, but your words do have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And when you allow somebody the ability to be free from the consequences of their words, that's when you get, you know, the depraved.
Dude, it's a double-edged sword, man.
I know.
It's a double-edged sword. And we're trying to sit in the middle with, like, social media marketing, not trying to, like, trigger anyone, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, Dang. Plus, now that we've started adding social media marketing as a service, I feel like we have to be aware of these things, just to, like, keep ourselves well-rounded and, like, happy and engaging, rather than having, like, some crazy random, like, microaggressions or something within what we're talking about. I don't know. You want to get back to business?
Yeah, this is...
So, actually this last week, actually this last month, but we've seen the effect finally this last week, we've managed to cut our expenses in half, which is pretty huge. High fives. So, that's huge. We did that by kind of methodically going through our, like where we were submitting money, where we were using like subscriptions, and the weeding out what we didn't need, weeding out a bunch of like expenses that we just didn't need. And man, now I feel like we're just as lean as we can possibly get, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're starting to grow more, so now we're starting to upgrade some more of our services, so the expenses will go back up, I think, a little bit. But as the growth comes and goes, you know, so do the costs. So, yeah, I'm pretty proud of us right now.
Yeah, we're a lot further than we've ever been. I mean,
quite honestly.
No, really, it's just, it's kind of mind-blowing to me that we're here and that we're still around doing this. And
yeah, dude, it's actually better and better. That's like the cockroach Airbnb story of those dudes. Those dudes like couldn't get funding for their products, and they just kept grinding it out, like selling whatever they needed to, doing whatever they needed to like bring money in and turn over and survive. And they ended up making it, and now they're Airbnb. So, I mean, resilience is a...
it's a virtue.
Is a powerful thing.
Absolutely. Well, sorry about the dark episode today, guys. Again, big shout out to the Dark Overlord. Please do not release the next 5 podcasts.
Yeah, because they won't be us, because we haven't recorded our next 5. We haven't recorded our next 5 podcasts.
But anyways.
Time for some Whataburger.
Yeah, time for some Whataburger.
All right, peace, guys.